Israel promising retaliation after this weekend's 300 drone rocket launches from Iran into Israel. It was seen as a retaliation on an attack on an Iranian embassy or consular building in Syria just last week. What impact could it have on the broader geopolitical situation in the Middle East, also on oil production? There are some geopolitical experts that say that a full-on conflict between Israel and Iran could affect as much as 30% of global oil supply. Professor Siad Mirandi is an academic and political analyst at the University of Tehran. Really appreciate your time. What is the appetite currently at the moment from Iranians on whether there'll be a full-scale conflict between Iran and Israel? Professor, good morning.
Good morning. I think in Iran it's pretty clear that people had the expectation and they demanded, really, that the government would punish the Israeli regime for bombing an embassy building where 7 Iranians were murdered and a number of local staff, Syrians, were also murdered, too. Especially since at the UN Security Council, the United States, France, and Britain refused to allow the council to condemn this act. The Israelis bombed the embassy with F-35s and fired 6 missiles into the building, killing everyone inside. So this, of course, is not the first time that the Israelis have done this. They, during the dirty war in Syria, where NATO and Israel and their regional partners were trying to undermine the Syrian government by using extremist groups like ISIS and Al-Qaeda and their affiliates, the Iranians, in order to help prevent these groups from taking over the country, these Western-backed groups from taking over the country, they sent advisors to Syria, and the Israelis would bomb them and kill them. But back then, the Iranians would show patience, strategic patience, because they wanted to help stabilize Syria. And more recently, though, the Israelis continued to kill Iranian advisors in Syria after the genocide in Gaza. Again, the Iranians showed patience. Since they hit the embassy, the Iranians said, we have to strike back, otherwise the Israelis will start bombing other embassies as well. So this is where we are at the moment. Of course, the Iranians have made a change in their policy towards the regime. They've said that from here on, we will attack the Israelis directly from Iran if they attack Iranians anywhere, whether they're inside Iran, outside Iran, inside an embassy, outside an embassy. If Iranians or Iranian assets are attacked, we will strike back severely. And thus the Iranians have changed the equation.
Said the U.S. and Israeli partners in the West have said it would not necessarily support a retaliation by Israel. Your thoughts on whether this would dampen any appetite for a full-scale conflict between Iran and Israel?
Well, the United States is fearful of Iran's drone and missile defense capabilities. And even though during the last few days the Western media has been saying that the Israelis and the Americans were successful in their defense of Israel against Iranian drones and missiles, that is extremely misleading. In fact, it's the opposite is true. The Iranians sent a couple of hundred of their very old drones, not new technology, each dirt cheap, basically, and they did it. They used them as decoys, and also to force the Israelis and the Americans to use their very expensive high-tech missiles. So the Israelis alone spent over $1.35 billion downing these drones, whereas for the Iranians, it costed a couple of million dollars. And also Iran gathered a great deal of intelligence about their technologies and their capabilities, whereas the Israelis and the Americans gained nothing. Then the Iranians fired, again, older missiles. Again, these were the same, very, they had no new technology. They were used to draw fire from the Americans. The Americans were doing the heavy lifting. And again, they spent a huge amount of money downing missiles that the Iranians really didn't need anymore in their stocks because they were so old. And then the Iranians fired a small amount of missiles at two specific targets, an airbase and an intelligence gathering base. And those missiles, I think between 10 to 20 of them, I don't know the exact number, they struck their targets and the Israelis couldn't block them. So for the Israelis, it was a failure. But the Western media, as always, pretend that everything is a success for them, but that's fine with us.
A former U.S. ambassador to Saudi Arabia and other geopolitical experts say that the world needs to avoid all-out conflict between Israel and Iran because it could impact as much on 30% of global oil supply. Are we standing on the precipice of all-out conflict, which could have broader geopolitical consequences for people in Iran, people in Israel, even people here in South Africa and other parts of the world?
Yes, it is a dangerous situation. The United States and the Israeli regime have created a very horrific situation in Gaza. The Europeans and the Americans are partners in genocide. And this is creating tensions across the region and across the world because people in the region are outraged. People across the world are outraged. And the Israeli regime, instead of being forced to end the genocide, they're being supported by the West. And as the regime fails, they want to expand the conflict in order to escape defeat. And this attack on the embassy was one such act. It was an expansion of the conflict so that they could find a way out and find a route to victory, at least a route to escape this defeat. But escalation will only make things worse. It'll make things worse for this genocidal regime. And it will create a very dangerous situation. If the Israelis strike Iran, the Iranians will strike back much harder. They've said that. They said that everything has changed from here on. And the Iranians will next time use not 300 old drones and old missiles. They'll use 3,000 high-tech drones and high-tech missiles to attack the Israeli regime. And then who knows what will happen next? So the Americans and the Europeans refuse to rein in their mad dog, basically, and that could lead to a global economic catastrophe because, as you pointed out, key oil and gas installations for the whole world are in the Persian Gulf region.
Who's there to rein Iran in? Because we need sober voices to be at the negotiating table. We need sober minds to realize what impact an all-out conflict will have on the world. Who's there to rein Iran in?
Well, the Iranians have been very patient. Most Iranians believe that the government was too patient. As I said, during the Western-led dirty war on Syria, the Israelis regularly murdered Iranian advisors. The Iranians never directly retaliated. Over the past 6 months, as they were carrying out genocide, they murdered Iranian officers in Syria again. Again, the Iranians showed strategic patience, but they bombed the Iranian embassy, and the Americans and the Europeans supported it. So Iran really had no option but to retaliate. Otherwise, the Israelis would stop bombing more embassies. And you will always see the Western media and Western governments justifying anything that the Israeli regime does. So
Israel has continued to state that Iran, and they describe Iran as the key sponsor of global terror, that attacks on Israel conducted by proxies of Iran like Hezbollah, and that Israel is simply defending itself. So, Ian?
I think it's quite clear that the Hezbollah and Hamas and Islamic Jihad in Palestine, these are not Iranian proxies. These are liberation movement, the Palestinian people have
funded by Iran,
been oppressed, and
are they funded by Iran?
Definitely supported by Iran. The ANC in the 1980s was also, in the 1990s until 2008, in fact, the ANC was a terrorist organization according to U.S. law. Your president Nelson Mandela was on the U.S. terror list until 2008. Nine years after he left his office, the West will criminalize and accuse anyone who wants to liberate their land. And I'm speaking, of course, about the ANC back then. Now I know you have different political parties and it's a different world, but we're talking about the era of apartheid. I don't mean to interfere in South African politics, especially since you have elections approaching. It's not my business to do so. But the point is that during apartheid, the West was supporting the apartheid regime, and that's what they're doing today in Palestine. Gaza has always been a concentration camp, and the people there have been regularly bombed and battered by the Israelis for decades. Mm-hmm. And most of the people in this concentration camp, and now a death camp, are people who were expelled from their homes across Palestine.
Professor Saeed Mirandi, really appreciate your time. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for. I have to get to another interview, but thank you so much. He's an academic political analyst at the University of Tehran.